obedience in heaven, the model of ours on earth. Thy will be done. Let's recite the Our Father together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Okay? I notice at the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we synthesize Our Father who art in heaven, first petition, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those three, the first petitions of the Lord's Prayer, identify, synthesize the work of the angels now in heaven and our own, shall I call it, service in heaven through all eternity. To do God's will, but notice, we are to do God's will now on earth as the angels and by now also the saints are doing it in heaven. So the model of how we are to do God's will is how the angels do God's will. And even the saints are to learn from the angels on how to do God's will. And go on. Praise God is the language of the angels. That's St. Paul's description of what the angels do. Shall we see how they use their angelic tongues, which they don't have? Okay. Now the relationship of the angels to Christ. And this, of course, is featured throughout the New Testament, announced his incarnation, announced his birth. Angels worshipped him, ministered him in the desert, strengthened him in his agony, heralds him as a resurrection, and witnesses of his ascension. And these are just outstanding examples. Now the relationship of the angels to us. And every one of these statements, as we see here, and I made sure, has a biblical foundation. They are spectators of our lives. We usually think in English of a spectator as watching something which is, well, a spectacle, which is admirable. Well, spectator, from the spectatores in Latin, does not mean merely watching us when we are acting admirably. No. They're watching us always, whether we're acting admirably or miserably. This is not the time for expanding each one of these ideas. But from the first weeks of the novitiate, when I entered the Society of Jesus, because it is such a large aspect of Ignatian spirituality, angels are not only watching us, they're like sitting by and watching us. Oh. If we do something, well, praiseworthy, they have ways of making us feel good. And if we're not acting well, they have ways of making us feel, well, feel miserable, feel bad. In the spirituality on which I was trained, of St. Ignatius,
in his ordinary providence, God uses the angels to reach human beings. We talk about getting an inspiration from God, sure, but it's through the angels. The angels remind us. The angels, remember, nothing ever happens with God. Nothing, nothing. The word casual or coincidence or chance is not in God's vocabulary. He is always there where we are. And then, we've touched on this before, but I think it should be emphasized here. Depending on whether we are sincerely trying to serve God and do His will or not, the angels, these are the good angels, will act towards us accordingly. If we're doing God's will, God tells them to encourage us. If we're out of order, God tells the angels to remind us. One of the principal purposes of pain is to remind us of God. If sinners did not suffer, they never returned to God. Am I making sense? And what the angels can do, for example, a wild driver, and we have a traffic accident, all carefully planned by the Almighty. We need accidents. We need misfortunes. We need suffering. And there are two people in the world that need most suffering. And the angels are always there to provide. Those who are estranged from God, and those whom God is calling to a high level of sanctity. They serve those who will inherit heaven. They know that we're supposed to go to heaven where they are. And they give us something of a foretaste. Here, this is what heaven is about. Isn't this nice? Now you suffer a little more patiently and you get to where I am. I use my God to minister to human beings. Examples. Mary, we know, had the Annunciation. Joseph. Oh, Sigmund Freud couldn't be taught. Having done my own graduate studies in psychology, I had to wade through the awful 24 volumes that Sigmund Freud has published. I didn't read every word, but it's like going through a garbage truck. But this is where, for example, just 3 weeks ago, I was in conversation with a psychologist, and I had to talk to him this way. I asked, "Where did you get your doctorate?" "Michigan State." And there was a case that he was working on that was my job to also work on. I told him, you got this thing all wrong. He never had talked that way in his life. I told him, I've done more than my share in counseling psychologists and psychiatrists. Poor guy. Enough common sense to restrain his anger, but he was angry. Much of it is a waste of time. The angels, once you have the faith, things that make sense, that accept under faith, are nonsense. Rejoice at sinners' conversion. They celebrate. Then all the church's growth. May our prayers before God protect little ones. Oh, this needs to be said nowadays. A mother gave me two, whatever you want to call them. They're not comic books. They're like men, like animals inside.
Smurfs?
Please?
Smurfs.
Yeah. Whatever they call it, but they're books. And they're filled with all kinds of... It's demonic. Really. It's the devil. And the mother took it away from the father, who was giving his little boy these books to read. Sometimes I wish I was carrying a gun. To protect children in our media today, I mean this, are hell-bent on destroying the youngest of the young. Sex education from the first grade. Protect the little ones. Bring the just after death into paradise. They have an escort into heaven. How's that? And now the prediction by the angels at Christ's second coming. Angels will accompany Christ at the last judgment. Angels will act as reapers to separate the wicked from the just and cast the wicked into fire. Angels will witness the last judgment. You see, they have their judgment too. It wasn't really the last judgment, because there was only a first in their case. Angels will execute God's judgment. In other words, it is under the angels. And those who reach heaven will get there. And those who go to hell will also get there by the angels. And one of my favorite expressions, every person in mortal sin is an angel, is an agent of the evil spirit, an agent of the devil. And every person in God's grace is an agent of the good spirit. You're always working together. You know, some spiritual implications. There are 12, in case your numbers didn't come out clearly. The angels are created pure spirits. They have no materiality, which we've explained. The angels are individual persons. We have explained. Each angel, like each of our souls, is individually, separately created by God. The There's no ancestry among the angels. There are no father and mother angels or grandparents. This is our faith. Each angel is separately and individually created by God, even as our souls are thus individually created by God. We are by nature immortal. God could, he will not, annihilate them. But an angel cannot die. Only a human being can die. Or other living things that have a principle of life and a body. Our principle of life is our immortal soul. The soul will not die. The angels are immortal by nature. They receive sanctifying grace, were tested, and the faithful inherited heaven. The angels in heaven had a work to get there. In case you think they got away with it. And as you know, this is the church's common teaching. They were tested on their humility, which is our main test, humility. Who goes to heaven? The humble. Who goes to hell? The proud. I'd rather not, you don't mind. And the twofold function of the angels is the model for us, praising God by our prayers and serving God by ministering to the needs of others. Same thing I said before, but from a different perspective. Praising God and serving God. We are tested as the angels were, and in the same way, now we have a further test because we've got a body. Do we ever have a body? And our test, therefore, is both in spirit and in body. They had only one probation. You might say, lucky angels, and only one test. They are vitally interested in each one of us. Now, this is not just our own guardian spirit. But the angels in general are very twin-mildly interested in us human beings. Because, as our faith tells us, it is not just we as individuals with a guardian or guiding spirit. But societies have guardian angels. Families have guardian angels. Parishes have guardian angels. And the outstanding, not yet saint, but beatified, in St. Peter Faber. Peter Faber, F-A-B-E-R, a Jesuit companion of St. Ignatius, not sancted, not canonized yet. He had a great devotion, composed many prayers to angels, angels of cities, angels of families, angels of parishes, angels of dioceses. In other words, there are angels for individual human beings and angels for clusters or groups of individuals. They represent God's ordinary providence in ministering from God to human beings. And the key word there is ordinary providence. In other words, the angels serving God in ministering to our needs is not God's extraordinary providence. That's the ordinary way that God deals with human beings. How is that? Through angels. And the more aware we can be of that, the better. Because then we can invoke our guardian angels, talk to them, deal with them, because they are always, to say the least, aware of us. That's their job. And it is not 40-hour weeks for the angels. It's not just even while we stay awake. Do the angels minister to us while we're asleep? Sure. Angels just for the level never go to sleep. We need them as messenger of God's truth, illumination of mind. We need them as missionaries of God's will, inspiration of our will. I cannot, in the 2 semesters, if it is God's will, that we'll have this year, I cannot overemphasize for those that are not doing it to start today, those who are doing it to continue and even deepen your devotion to the angels. Never let a day pass without praying at least to your guardian angel. And I mean this, if more people are aware of their angels and invoke them, they'd have much fewer psychological and emotional problems. Because this is the favorite way the devil works. And this is, of course, in demonology, which it's not. I could tell you something about how the devil works. He stirs up emotions. He causes confusion in the mind. The devil is a master psychiatrist. Master. And the more fervent, the more zealous a person is in trying to serve God, the more psychological, and now Sigmund Freud even has a name for it, psychopathological problems. And with a man like Freud again, I like to quote him because he in many ways personifies the tragedy of a modern world that does not believe in a world beyond matter. So what happens? The non-material evil world has a heyday. And in the United States, and the same people that produce the problem, oh, they also know the cure. And I know the cure. For 5 years, I think I've told you, serving as chaplain at the state hospital in Kalamazoo while teaching my students at Western Michigan. More than once I said to myself, my students at the university need more help than these patients in the state hospital. Well, you learn psychiatrists do. People line up, hundreds of people, like animals, line up and need to be inoculated for the day. There is a world that we cannot see, touch, or taste, or feel with our bodies. But as St. Paul tells us, it is more real than the so-called real world of space and time. And it's this world that we believe in, and this world has both good spirits and it sure has evil spirits. And finally, we are destined to enjoy the company, their company in heaven, provided we imitate and listen to them on earth. A little overtime, but so what? Is it a 15-minute break? Okay. So, tell you what, let's be real generous. It's 20 of 3, okay? 20 of 3. Here we go. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostre, Amen. Regina Angelorum, in nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti.
The Institute on Religious Life has presented these lectures by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. All rights are reserved. Any duplication or reproduction of this material in any media form without the express written consent of the Institute on Religious Life is strictly prohibited. For more information on other material in this series or on the Institute on Religious Life, call area code 313-930-7470.